Good morning. Good morning. Here I am. We're ready to rock, ready to go. I hope you're ready. Strap on your seatbelts. Extinguish all smoking material. And your chair will not work as a flotation device, just so you know. So it will not happen. We're going to have a great time this morning. My name is Nate Parks. I was, just in case you don't know, and I do want to let you know a little bit about what is going on at Berea right now. We have a women's retreat up there happening right now and next weekend. We have a women's retreat for you, those of you ladies who are looking to get away. You know what I'm saying? So we have a women's retreat going on right now, even as I speak. And that's why I'm here, because I was done with that, and I wanted to come here and be with you guys. But women's retreat's going on, and so that's going there. But right here, a moment of solemn reverence and silence for man camp. Woo! Yes. You better believe it. Man camp. Boys need not apply. All right? So we don't promote man camp. We don't promote it. It's basically a challenge. If you're a boy, stay home. If you're a man, come to camp. So man camp, that's what it is. It's a great time. It's fun for the whole family, specifically men. And first 2 weekends in November, we'd love to have you come up and join us up there. We basically just eat a lot of raw pig and yell at each other. So it's just a great time. It's a fun time for sure. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because after that, I think we need to pray. And we'll go from there into Joshua. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we worship you, for you are amazing. And really, that's the end of it. You are wonderful, Almighty God, and we just worship you, for you are great. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and be with you. Lord, we ask that you would help me to communicate effectively, that I would not be a distraction, that your truth would come forth and come into our lives, that we would change, that we'd walk out different than what we came in, because you and you alone are at work in our life in amazing ways. We love you. We worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen. Here's the question I have for you this morning. When was the last time you sensed God speak to you? When was the last time you felt like, you know what, I can go back in my calendar and I can say, on this day, God spoke to me? It may not have been a burning bush like it was with Moses. It may not have been writing on the wall. It may not have been a donkey talking to you in the middle of the roadway. But for somehow, some way, you felt like God spoke to you. There was a sense where you said, that was a day where God and I connected. I'll have to say to you that unfortunately for most people, that usually is actually wasn't probably today, maybe not. Maybe it wasn't even this week. In fact, for most people, as I talk to them, they say to me, you know what? It's been a while, maybe a week, 2, 3 weeks, maybe a month, half a year, in some cases, years. There's this sense of like, where's God? Where's God working? I mean, literally, I say it this way. The hardest thing that you will ever do in your life is see God work in your life. It's not that he's not working in your life. It's that you're not looking. You're not watching. You're not remembering what is going on in your life. You're not setting up memorials for what's going on in your life. So if I say to you, when was the last time you saw something in your life, you may have to sit there and think about it for a little bit. The hardest thing you will ever do in your life is see God work in and around your life. It's not that he's not working. It's just that we're not looking. See, the fact of the matter is, life kind of settles in for us because we are distracted by many different things. And if you think about it, you take the five senses as a case in point, right? You can see, you can touch, you can see, you can smell, right? All of these five senses that we have. And these five senses are the way that we understand life. This is the way that we connect to what's going on. Even right here in this very, very moment, those five senses, your awareness is heightened right now. For example, some of you are thinking, you know what? It's kind of cool in here. Or is it kind of hot? If you sit and you listen, you can hear the cars go by. You can hear the fans, right? Unfortunately, you're going to have to hear my voice for a little bit longer. Some of you, your eyes are opening up. You're looking at me, and you're saying to yourself, really? That is the face of Berea? I mean, they could use some hair with that. You know, I mean, it's like they could really, really use some help if it's the face and the voice of Berea. Some of you are sitting here going, man, these chairs are comfortable, but I am getting a little bit of hungry. Or maybe you ate a bran muffin this morning, and you're feeling like, man, I hope he keeps moving, right? Somehow you're feeling different things because you're guided by these senses. You, as you live through life, when you wake up, you hear the alarm clock, you see the sun, or maybe you get up before it even comes up, and you're starting to move through life. You get up, you get out of bed, your joints hurt, you're walking around, you're trying to figure life out, you get your coffee to hopefully somehow numb the pain of morning. And then you get going with life, and you're constantly doing this. But the fact of the matter is, God is working in our life. He is not an absentee owner. He is not somebody who is working. He is alive and well, resurrected from the grave on the third day and coming back to see us someday. We need to live with that awareness that God is constantly working in our life. And not only live with that awareness, but celebrate it. Celebrate it continually. And here in the book of Joshua, we see it. Really, I think an excellent example of that. If you want to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 4 is where we're going to be in. But and I know most of you know sort of the story here because you guys have already gone through this. And as Vinny said, we're going to cross back over the Jordan and get another highlight as we go through. But you may remember in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, Moses died, right? Moses passed away. He died. So we're moving now into the conversation that Joshua had with God. In the first nine verses or so, there's a conversation that he's having with God. And what happens there? Basically, God says to him, "Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, the Lord your God will be with you." And he says that a lot. He says that twice. Like, "I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with you." Why does he have to encourage him? Why does he have to do that? Well, if you go back and you think, you realize that the last 40 years was nothing but death and destruction. The 40 years in the wilderness is a terrible resume for a brand new leader to come into. And I feel like in many ways, this is sort of a kind of a similar situation as to where this church is itself. You know, Bruce, well, he's not dead, but, you know, he's not here, right? Bruce kind of moved on. And now we got Bill. And let me tell you, this is the funniest thing because I've known Bill for over 10 years. I've known Bill through multiple churches that he's been at, and I'm going to give you one warning right now. He's not Superman, all right? He doesn't have a cape. There's no telephone booth outside his house. He's a regular human being. But here's what I can tell you. He loves the Word, he loves the Lord, and he's going to build the church. That's all you can expect, right? Here's Joshua. He's sitting there, and he's having this conversation with God. And in a moment of just unbelievable obedience, Joshua has a conversation with God, walks out of the tent, gathers all the officials together and says, "Pack your bags, we're going in." Now that is an amazing statement if you think about it. You think about this, just remember, 40 years of death and destruction. Yes, the bronze serpent, the plagues, the quail, the manna, the water from the rock, all the craziness, the 12 spies that said, you know, 10 said no, 2 said go. And because of that, there's all this destruction. Entire generation died. The only two people who survived it was Joshua and Caleb. That's where we're at right here. And in chapter 4, right before this happens, Joshua says, "Grab your bags. In 3 days, we're busting out." And everybody says, "Okay, I guess we're doing this. We'll see how this goes. New leader. We'll find out how it all's going to rock," right? They bring out the Ark of the Covenant. Nobody can be within 1,000 cubits of it. And it goes out, and you remember the story because you went through this. The minute the priest's feet went to touch the water stopped the flow. The water stopped the flow of the Jordan. Now, this was maybe not too much of a surprise for Joshua and Caleb because they remember the Red Sea. They remember seeing, you know, the walking aquarium. You know, this whole thing kind of went up like this and they saw the fish and they're like, "See, I told you. This is what it was like. This is kind of the way it was." But it was a little different because this was a river. So they stopped the flow. It all dried up and they passed right on the dry ground. Now, for those people who were there, like I said, Joshua and Caleb saw this at the Red Sea, but everybody else was like, "What? This thing was flowing just a minute ago. I just told my kids to stay away from the river because I didn't want them to get sucked down the river. And now we're walking in the bed of the river." And that's where we find ourselves right here in Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, he says this, verse 1. "And when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men among, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. As you know, the 12 tribes, they wanted to get one from each one. Why? So they could pass the story down the tribe. And tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, right from where the priest stood, and carry them over with you to put them down at the place where you stay tonight. Verse 4. So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and the stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now this is an amazing, genius move by God. Obviously, He's God. But the thing that's really, we cannot miss here is a simple act by Joshua. And I happen to be a student of leadership. It's a passion of mine. I enjoy those things. And as I studied this event and I thought about this, I'm like, man, Joshua, what an amazing leader. He goes in and cleans house and makes it happen, right? All these things are going on. And right at this pivotal moment, as he takes the reins on, he does something that many leaders maybe sometimes even forget. In fact, as I studied leadership, I said, you know what? I wonder what quality would have been Joshua in that passage. You know, what quality would have been charisma? All right, we're going over. Let's go. You know, I mean, is it kind of like that magnetic appeal? Or is it the vision of, it's the land that flows with milk and honey? You know, could he create a picture for them to kind of, there's milk and there's honey. You know, let's go. You know, I don't know exactly what, you know, those kind of pieces. I don't think it's really that one. I think the number one quality that Joshua had was obedience. He obeyed what God had said for him to do. Now, what's amazing to me about that quality is that of all the books that I've ever read on leadership, I've never read that obedience should be one of the qualities of a great leader. But the reality is, if you follow Scripture and you go through Scripture, you will find that the greatest leaders in Scripture are those who obey, those who walk by God's truth. And he did this. What else can we see in this passage? If you'll notice in there, it says this, right about verse 5. And said to them, go before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. Which gives us a sense, at least, that the stone was not a little rock. It was a sizable object that a healthy man needed to take on his shoulder. So it's a big rock. They go and they take and they put these 12 rocks right there. And the reason, like I said before, that they had the 12 guys do it is because they wanted to make sure that once, as God already knew, Joshua was going to take over the land, they were going to separate all the 12 tribes, that this story would pass on from generation to generation. Because that's the way it went before. That's the way it used to be. It wasn't like they could turn on CNN and watch the highlights. You know, they didn't have newspapers recording this. It wasn't like they had Facebook with smartphones. They're like, hey, look, here's me by the Jordan, cut off, you know. You know, or they're tweeting, you know, hey, look at this. My dad just picked up a stone. We're taking it to where we're sleeping, you know. You know, it wasn't like stuff like that. It just didn't happen. I mean, we know this because if you go to Deuteronomy 6, right, in Deuteronomy 6 it tells us how to teach people, how to teach your children. What does it say? The Lord your God is one, right? It's the Shema for the Jewish people. And he says, make sure you talk about the Lord when you get up, when you walk, when you sit down, when basically during all the affairs of the day. As you walk around, may you explain to people and share with people what God is doing. It's not like they just showed up at church every Sunday and said, okay, now's the time. For this next 25 minutes or so, now we're going to learn about Jesus. No, it was a daily thing. A daily thing. This excites me. Because this is the way it ought to be right now for us. It's not that we're coming here on Sunday to learn about Jesus necessarily, even though that is the part of it. We're coming here to share the stories of the week that what God has done. You're not going to believe it. I was praying this week for this. You're not going to believe it. We were praying 2 weeks ago for X, and this is what happened. This is a time, an opportunity for us to come together and to share what God is doing in our life. Now, that's amazing. That is amazing to me, that we would have that opportunity. But so many of us get distracted by our five senses. We live in this world that we forget that there really is a sixth sense. That sixth sense that God is alive and well. And because we live like this with our five senses constantly thinking what we're doing, it's really hard many times to kind of see what God is doing in our life. Where in reality what we should be doing is changing our perspective and saying, what is God doing in my life? How is God working in my life? In this case, they celebrated it by taking 12 stones and placing them. 12 stones out of the river. It would have been a lot easier to say, hey, you know what? On your way there, when you get there, find 12 stones. When you get to where you're going to sleep, find 12 stones and stack them up, and that'll be a memorial. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, from the river, by the Ark of the Covenant, grab 12 stones and take them with you. Why? Well, it tells us right there in verse 6. What does it say? Ready? I'm almost there. To serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Okay, so let's process this a little bit. One generation is here. Another generation goes by. So now the ones who were kids there, so to speak, right, the teens of that day, now are adults and have their own kids. And they're going to grandpa and grandma's for Thanksgiving, right? So not that there was Thanksgiving back then, but they're going back to Thanksgiving. They're walking down by the Jordan River. They say, don't get close to the Jordan because I don't want you to get sucked in. I don't want you to get sucked in this thing. Keep walking down towards there. They make it. They're down there. And all of a sudden, one of the kids says, what is that over there? What is that thing over there? What do you mean? What are you talking about? That pile of rocks, it looks different. Now, why do you think it looks different? They took the rocks out of the middle of the river. If you know anything about the topography of that area, it's a little bit more jagged and ragged, right? What does a stone that comes from the middle of a river look like? It's smooth. It's identifiable. What are those 12 smooth stones doing over there? Right then, the dad says, sit down. I got to tell you a story. You're not going to believe this. Okay, you see that river right there? You see that river? God stopped it. And those stones came out of that river. Kid's like, no way. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, out of that river, I saw it happen. You're telling me that river over there, the one you've been telling me to stay away from because you don't want me to get sucked down in the river, that's the river. The Lord stopped it. The Ark of the Covenant. Everybody walked across that and we went in and we conquered the land. And those stones right there are a remembrance of God's work in our nation. And I saw it happen. Can you imagine the impact that a kid would have? Their father's telling them this story. It's not some story about their childhood that's just random. It's the time in which God worked in their life. A time in which they said, I'm telling you, that river that's rushing right there, stop. God is alive and well, and those stones are representative of it. Now, if I go back to my original question, when was the last time you saw God work in your life? If it takes you a while to remember it, or if you can't remember it, now you see where we're going. Here, what's funny with this is that we don't forget some things, right? Like we remember our birthday, right? You remember what your birthday is? Yeah. Birthdays are pretty important. Why? Because you get a lot of loot. That's why you remember birthdays. We never pass over Christmas, right? And Thanksgiving is the one and only male holiday there is. I mean, we're not going to forget that, right? The turkey and the football, let's make it happen, right? And certainly, gentlemen, right, you will never forget your anniversary, right? ain't going to forget that one, right? I mean, it's the simplest things. I mean, like, I break my arm, right? I break my arm, I got a cast. You're my friend, what's the first thing I ask you to do? Sign my cast, right? To really put your name into something that's on my arm so we can remember this whole situation. We are constantly remembering things and setting up little memorials for things that in reality, comparatively, are nothing to the events that are constantly happening in our life. The hardest thing you will ever do in your life is see God work. It's not that He's not working, it's just that we're distracted with this. We're looking. I mean, life is what it is, right? We're sitting here right now and we're thinking pot roast is going to burn, right? Or maybe you had a bad, maybe you lost your job this week. Maybe you're going to lose your job next week. Maybe there's bills to pay, right? There's kids who want stuff that you're going, what? You want that? I mean, when I was a kid, I never got anything like that. I got a branch to play with. You want an iPod? I mean, what are you talking about, right? There's all this like, all this, everything's grabbing from you, everything. The boss wants X, right? I mean, it's just craziness in our life. And really what happens is in our life is we live life without thinking about God and celebrating what He's doing in our life. It's like the fog sort of sets in. The fog sort of comes in and kind of sets in. And then we don't even know where we came from, let alone where we're going. I mean, how can we know where we're going if we never know where we came from? Right? Which makes me think of a sort of an illustration that I think kind of makes sense to me. One of the reasons you want to celebrate what God's doing is so that you can look back and worship and praise Him for what He has done. But it also is a good indicator. Let me give you an example. I happen to do a lot of hiking and so forth. I go in the woods. I'm a woods guy, right? And I enjoy that kind of stuff. So maybe you've been out there hiking before, and maybe you know, just in case, if you ever do, I'm going to give you very practical advice this morning here, how to get out of the woods when you're lost, all right? So this is just a simple example, nothing big, just a simple example. But let's just say you're walking, right? Let's just say you're walking, and you're just enjoying the woods, and you're going walking by. Oh, look at a rock, you know. Okay, great. You know, oh, there's a tree, right? You know, and you walk by, and then you get to the point where you're going, well, I think I ought to get back. You know, it's time for me to get back. I think I better get going. And as you walk back, you know, you see that tree. Oh, yeah, there's that tree I saw. I remember you. That's great, you know. You keep walking, and you're walking around, right? You're walking back, and you're kind of just, man, I think I know where I'm going. You walk back, and you keep walking, and you go, oh, there's that tree again. Well, imagine that, right? You know, so you keep walking by, you know, then you come by, and you're like, well, hello. You know, now it's the fourth time. Now we know each other, right? You're going, I think I'm lost. How do I get out of the woods when I'm lost? Here's one simple example that could help you if you get lost in the woods. What you do is, to the best of your knowledge, because at that point, you sort of don't know where you are. In fact, what usually happens to people when they get lost is this. They start seeing the tree two or three times, and they get a little frantic. They're like, oh my goodness, I think I might be lost. They start picking up the pace. And they have, you know, they have jackets on, they have clothing, many times they have backpacks on, water, food, whatever. And if you read some of these stories of the people that are lost, what's amazing about it is that when they're lost, when they find the actual body, it's almost naked. And as you go back, you can see where they took off their clothes and they took off everything, almost to the point where you go right back, almost to the point, you can see the broken branches, the ruffles in the leaves, you know, where they tripped over on the root because they picked up speed. You can see almost to the point where you can basically say this is where they found out they were lost. Because what happens is, we're like, oh my goodness, the tree. Let's see, I'm going to go this way. And they start going, and what happens is we travel in a circle like this. And many times most people perish within reach of salvation. I mean, within reach of a road, within reach of a house, within reach of something, because they just start running. They get hot. They remove the weight. They keep on going. They throw the water. They get rid of the coat because they're hot. They trip. They fall down. They get up. They trip. They fall down. They get up. They trip. They fall down. And at some point, they trip, and it's harder to get up. So they just rest, and they stay there. And they rest because they don't have any of their proper equipment on anymore. They're exposed, and that's why you die of exposure. They're exposed, And your body does not have the elements to sustain it overnight. So what you got to do is this. If you are lost, first you hug the tree because it's the only friend you have, right? Then, to the best of your ability, if you're going up a mountain or so, because New England, there's mountains and stuff, you look at the streams, because the streams won't change. The wind changes, right? Cloud patterns change, but the stream doesn't. So you can look at the streams, you look at the ridge lines of the mountains if you have them, okay? Also, you can look at the sun. Just remember that the sun does move, so as long as you kind of know that the moon... If you take those 3 points and sort of triangulate, if you will, and you go, to the best of my judgment, I think this is the direction I have to go. This is what you do. You take this tree and you line it up with another tree. And then you walk in a straight line from that tree to the next tree. Right? Straight line, next tree. Because the shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. Okay? See, and what's amazing about this is this. Some of us in our life are really, even right now maybe you've lost employment, maybe you haven't, but you feel like God's telling you to do something, you don't know what to do, the fog's setting, you're like, where do I need to go? Which direction do I need to go? The best way to know which way to go is to look back and see what God has been doing with you and your life over the course of time. And if you line them up, it'll give you a sense of direction of which direction you need to go with your life. The best predictor of the future is what has happened in the past. God used me doing this. But the problem is most of us don't set up memorials of what God is doing in our life. So when we start looking around, we don't know where we are. Where are we? And this is a genius move. Joshua, a brand new leader, and God says to him, take the stones out. Because he knows. He knows there's going to be times like Ai, which is chapter 6, right? Knows those things are coming. Grab the stones. Put them down. Let everybody know that at this point, I was working amongst you. Think about it. What was the next pile of stones? Jericho. A little bit bigger that time. Which makes me think, you know what God wants? The scripture is clear. You know, so many of us are sitting here, well, God, make me the next Billy Graham, right? How about this? How about you just start off where you are and obey the little things that he has asked you to do? Stick with the small things, and over the course of time, let God determine what you're ready for. How's that sound? Sort of like the Southern Gospel chorus, bright in the corner where you are. You guys remember that? Bright in the corner where you are. Bright in the corner. You didn't think you were going to get sing to this morning, did you? This is in addition. This is a bright in the corner. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar. Bright in the corner where you are. Be faithful. Scripture says it this way. Be faithful in the small things, and God will reward you in the big things. We have to remember that God